Hello and welcome to another episode of We Have a Microphone. I'm Hampton.
I'm Michael.
And man, it has been a stressful month.
It has, very much.
We were walking home with our microphone, our much beloved microphone, and somebody stole it.
Yeah.
Crime in San Francisco is rampant.
Through the roof.
We literally had several weeks of not having a microphone, which meant we couldn't do an episode. Yeah. So
we put up those posters
with
the little tear-off dealies. We said, please return our microphone. We will give you a reward for up to $10.
$10.
And it was returned.
Yeah, but the microphone's more than $10, which I feel like they're really bad criminals.
Well, yeah, it's true. And we're really bad reward givers.
Yeah.
Also,
well, I think it's maybe because we brought in Liam Neeson.
We did.
Who does have a very specific set of skills for getting back microphones.
Yeah. And it worked.
Well, I think more people died getting this microphone back.
He killed so many people.
And I thought it was a little gratuitous.
But we have a microphone. We have a microphone. And
now we're back. And we're back just in time to talk about the end of Mad Men.
Oh, I thought we were doing a thing together.
I wasn't doing a thing.
It's past. We can't do it.
Now we haven't even said the word properly.
So I am going to.
It's Mad Men,
right? And I'm going to make a cocktail.
Well, yeah, we're gonna do something a little classic, referential to the final episode of Mad Men.
Oh, and if you're wary of spoilers,
well, then fucking go watch the show.
Right.
Sorry, nobody who's been watching it, like, for the last while doesn't know what happened. And if you haven't watched, then you don't care, so.
It's true.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people catching up on Mad Men right now. And that's cool. Like, you don't have to. You can listen to this episode. Well, I guess if you really don't like Mad Men, you should just skip this fucking episode.
It's true.
Because you should be like, So I'm going to look up on Twitter, as Michael makes us a drink, because that's what we need.
Oh, what's the deal with?
Actually, I'm just going to look up Mad Men.
Yeah.
And I'll read some of what Twitter has to say about Mad Men. I've not looked at this beforehand. So one is Coca-Cola promoted tweet. Share a Coke tour is traveling the country this summer.
Aww.
Yep. The number two is New York Times. What John Hamm thinks the last scene of Mad Men finale means. So when John Hamm doesn't know the fucking answer, yeah, we're all screwed. Let's see. Please don't spend the next 10 years asking Matt Wiener about the Mad Men finale.
Oh, I'm going to.
I'm going to, every time I see him. Pamela Marie, who I follow.
Oh, I
found Tonella, yeah. Okay, just watch the Mad Men finale. That's it.
Well, it was. Cheers. Should we have some scotch?
What did we do with the scotch?
Yours is neat. Or on the rocks. Mine has a skosh of honey syrup and bitters.
Mashable says, 4 hours ago, live now, talking Mad Men and Game of Thrones.
But it's on Meerkat. Oof. Do people do Meerkat?
Look, fair enough. If you're listening to a podcast, Mashable is probably better than this bullshit.
That's true.
Just right now, delete this podcast from
your
phone or whatever the hell you're doing. Go to Mashable, because they just talked about Mad Men and Game of Thrones. And I think, you know, they have qualifications beyond having a microphone, which is...
Maybe.
Pretty intense.
Anyway, so what did you think of the Mad Men finale?
I liked it.
Me too.
All right, there we go. That's the end of the episode. It was really...
all tied up. Okay, so the main things I've heard or read... it was too neatly tied up.
That's a bullshit answer.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Sorry. To end a thing is to tie it up.
Sure.
And when Don jumped off that building, I feel like
it's super... Right, I was shocked.
It's super tied up, that show. I mean, I feel like all the people who haven't seen it yet are so he's going to commit suicide.
It's the idea of Mad Men not being a show that ties up things neatly.
It didn't.
I agree it didn't.
You thought it didn't work. Okay, so the real ending was not his suicide.
No.
It was he kind of went to a retreat, like a hippie retreat, and then had maybe a Zen moment or maybe a cynical moment. We don't know. And then he came up, or it was, then they played the Coke ad, a very famous Coke ad, like, let's share a Coke.
Yeah.
which you can certainly interpret very directly as that he... actually, his whole near-death kind of thing was really just leading up to a new ad campaign, which is kind of a fun interpretation. Mm-hmm. It's also maybe that the conflict between the two. So maybe commercialism was shown at the end in an overt form of commercialism to represent his former life.
I think the show is way too cynical to provide such a positive outcome. I feel like it's a pretty cynical show. Like, you have one of the...
That's a cynical outcome.
A cynical outcome? You thought
this was a cynical outcome. That he went back to New York. Because, sorry, for the whole last season, he's like wandering around as a hobo, kind of. Like, he just has like a bag of clothes and a wad of cash, and he just kind of like wanders around.
Yeah. So, like, I'm saying my interpretation is very cynical.
Oh, right. There's
the interpretation that he...
actually found some level of enlightenment.
Yeah, sure. Which I don't think...
But maybe he did, and then was able to translate that into something beautiful.
Sure. But then we don't need the punchline of the Coke ad. Like...
How would you have done it then otherwise?
You just have him arming on the coast of Big Sur, or wherever the fuck he was. Like, I don't know.
Oh, you're saying if he never went back to the ad business.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot, and I don't fully understand how everyone... So, Peggy and Stan hooked up, or ended up being a thing, I don't know, which was, you know, spoke to all of my heart, whatever the cold, shriveled heart I have. Like, that was like, oh, Peggy and Stan, yes, I wanted them to get together. But I don't really understand why everyone's saying it was tied up so neatly. I read it a lot, but then I'm like, I mean, Betty dies? I mean, is that it?
Yeah, that
or Joan has her own thing? Like, you could go for halfway through season 5 or 6 or whatever, and just be like, okay, this is the arbitrary point. Oh, everyone's tied up neatly because they found a new business, or Lane Price hangs himself or whatever.
Sorry,
like,
the idea that it was neatly tied up is stupid. Because you could do the next season right now. There's not even a... You wouldn't even miss a beat.
I want to see Holloway Harris trying to fight for
Peggy people. And how it's going with the new company.
I
want to
see Peggy and Stan's relationship. I want to see Don coming back to McCann. Okay. I didn't realize McCann Erickson is a real ad firm.
Yeah, you told me that after and I didn't know that either. Who really did the Coke ad?
Yeah. So the biggest thing I've heard against Don coming up with this, is McCann Erickson is real. That's an actual real advertising agency. They really came up with the Coke ad. And they've been so historically accurate so far. So if someone came up with an ad that they didn't come up with, or they came up with one that was very similar to one, they didn't claim it to be, you know, whatever. So they didn't claim an ad to be theirs when it definitely wasn't. So they came up with new things where they could. So the only thing I've heard is that there is a very clear person in McCann Erickson who came up with the Coke ad. Like, it is this one guy, I can't remember his name, but he's like, no, I came up with the Coke ad, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, historical accuracy has been such a major point for most of Mad Men. Even the ads they pretended to come up with at Sterling Cooper, Trey Price, or whatever, have, you know, been only similar to actual ads. This was an actual ad. And they're saying that, because we know the historical veracity of this, Don Draper can't have invented it.
Oh,
they wouldn't have gone, like, 7 seasons and said, oh, no, 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 we're going to be super accurate with who we assign or who we attribute these ads to. Therefore,
like, people need to calm the hell down. Like,
it's a great God.
No, it's a great show. It's a great show, and it was a great ride.
Yeah.
And you feel like the ending was pretty concrete. I feel like it's a little bit ambiguous, and I'm so fine with it being a little bit ambiguous. Wait, like, I'm cool.
I'm obviously fine with ambiguous endings to shows. I love The Sopranos ending. Like, this is so concrete, and I felt very clearly after we watched it and we went to the bar.
So,
like, there was a very clear, like, progression.
That's what we finished and then we went to the bar to have an old fashioned. Yeah, you know, did you see Weiner's notes from the original show?
Yes. And he ends up in Rome.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't actually how they made the show go. But
right.
But he so as he's creating this show, or it was going to be a movie, and he's creating the character of Don Draper. What I really cared about was what he wrote about what Don really was. And it was a person who goes from experience to experience trying to satisfy himself. And trying to find meaning in the next thing. And he kind of ruins the thing before it. And there was a lot of stuff like that. And I was like, I love the idea of the... Or sorry, one of the other ideas was that even commercial art is still art. Which, like...
I definitely agree with.
Yeah, I mean, as commercial artists, you know.
That's true.
Wait, what fucking artist isn't commercial? Like a homeless person who...
Van Gogh.
Yeah. But he was still trying. He would have become a commercial artist in a half second.
Okay.
No, but the idea that this personal pain and seeking experience and seeking newness is the thing that drives Don and gives him new life every single time to reinvent himself. Very much in Anne Rice kind of way.
Anne Rice. So one of my very good friends, Eric, said to me today, or yesterday when he watched it, do you think he goes back as Don or Dick?
Don.
So I thought it was very interesting that the very last episode, he is referred to as Dick more than he is Don. And obviously he confesses to Peggy. You know, I've been a fraud. He doesn't, you know, come quite that close saying, like... But, sorry, a couple of episodes previous, he talks about...
He said
about,
I took another man's name. So there was no... Yeah. He said that to Peggy.
And then also, a couple of episodes previous, he talks about how...
Phone call.
And the phone call was beautiful. So it was funny having seen him interact with all these people, and interesting reading John Hamm's thoughts about how his last three episodes were not... You know, he wasn't interacting with any of the people.
No.
He wasn't interacting with Betty. He wasn't interacting with Roger.
Choice.
He wasn't interacting with
Peggy.
Yeah, it was bold. But... I thought it was interesting hearing, okay, maybe he's found peace. And there's kind of like a halfway between, okay, he stays in Big Sur or wherever and is a hippie. He goes back to New York and comes up with the coke ad. There's kind of a middle line where
there's
it's like, he comes back as Dick. He's like, I'm now, like, I stole someone's, identity, but my ideas are good. So,
look, the Don that's sobbing into that guy's shirt, that fucking scene. Sorry for seriously, if you haven't seen the show, then just skip to the next episode.
It's fine. Pretty much.
Go watch Mad Men now. The third season, you might get a bit off. That's what I kind of stopped watching for a while, and Michael kept going. Thank you for keeping on because it got so much better.
Your apology.
Yeah, I got roped back in.
Yeah,
and it was worth it. But the scene where he's crying, like. The guy's talking about being in the refrigerator.
Yeah. It's such a good...
No, but that's also Don. Like, that's how he's been
much,
right? It was speaking to him, and he's sobbing. And I'm like, there is no Don that we've seen that is that.
No.
That's a... It is a progression of him. He's maybe not a hero in the end. A true, perfect hero, right?
No, not.
But, like, the fact he's... more authentic, going by Dick, by admitting how he functions in life. Like, I actually think it's a positive view of what... I feel like we've been watching Don, or Dick, go through therapy in a way. Like, slowly working through some bullshit.
It's true.
Like, there were segments where he was actually, like, not being horrible to people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so first season, he's terrible to his wife, like, in so many ways.
Right.
Very much using the culture of the time as a cover.
I feel like it's more like switching who he's being horrible towards. So at times he's horrible towards Betty, at times he's horrible towards Megan, at times he's horrible towards Peggy, like...
When he first dated Megan, he wasn't cheating on her at all.
No, but he was horrible to other people in his life.
Oh, really?
He's being horrible to Betty, he was being horrible to...
Lane.
Pauline. I still find it weird that he's Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes thing. In the Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, really? Oh. I've never seen those. Have you?
I watched on a plane once. Noomi Rapace is also in them. She's pretty awesome. But... Okay.
I don't know.
Prometheus? The main Ripley replacement? It's okay.
Girl
with the dragon tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go. She's Swedish. Rooney Mara.
Yeah, a different person.
Yes. I find it really weird that it's Noomi Rapace and then Rooney Mara. It's almost a spoonerism or something. But yeah.
So, when Don's crying to the guy.
I love the insertion of random characters you've never met before.
At the end of the show.
Yeah. It's like so the last that is a tough, 10 minutes like... of the show. And you have this... I mean, credit to the Matthew Weiner. Like, he's got this random... You know, you have to put all your faith in this one actor who you've never met before.
Yeah.
Met him before, but like... Just like, you need to do the speech and you need to fucking pull it off because that's the end of my show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's very Sopranos in a lot of ways. Like, I feel like Sopranos had a bunch of, you know, B characters coming in randomly and you needed... I feel like Breaking Bad was different in a lot of ways because it was very neat in terms of how many people you met and
yeah,
how many...
True.
Like, there were 10 main characters, and you would follow them the whole way, and any interaction was pretty much between those.
You want to get a roll?
No, I was just talking about, like, it takes a lot of chutzpah to put these random characters
in. They threw in new characters in the last episode. Which
is crazy. And you even throw in,
and
like...
whole new storylines that...
Anna, what's-her-face, the dick... Real Don's niece. Who's the blonde who goes to him with Bixer. But I think that takes a lot of guts, and it was good. Like, I feel like it worked, and it's a tricky thing to pull off, but he did it. And,
So, Joan's new company.
Spinoff. Harris. Oh, I would love a spinoff.
Right?
So,
just her starting a new company with a new partner. Like,
going back to the cynicism aspect of, you know, who do you think, you know, what do you think happens to Don after this last scene? And I think that he goes back to McCann Erickson. I feel like he makes the Coca-Cola ad, and I feel like he draws on his experience as a fucking hippie to produce this hippie commercialization. And in a lot of ways, that means no one changes. Peggy's working at McCann. She doesn't go in with Joan. She's like, I know what I want. No one changes is the message of this. And the only person who I thought changed, on the whole... Sorry, I feel like all the characters evolved as people.
Yeah.
I feel like they all... changes people, but I feel like
they're still them. Yeah.
And I feel like Joan is the only person who went to two different places. Does that make sense? Like, looking at her as head secretary or whatever she was in the very first episode to running her own business, and having gone through relationships and having divorced a guy and having had a kid with Sterling and like all this thing, it's very, very different to why she started out. And I feel like she's the only character where I'm like, you have definitely changed into a different person. I feel like everyone else is a heart the same person they were.
I guess I disagree with that one. Because when I first met her, I know I've mentioned this to you a lot, there's a statement my dad made when I was a kid, and maybe I was like 16 or something, and my dad's a lawyer, and he was bitching about his new assistant. I was like, Dad, you're being really unfair. Like, why are you, like, it was a woman who was working for him, and, like, she'd mess something up or something. And then, so my dad was like, well, look, when I first started in this career, the women who were working for me as an assistant were people who would have been doctors if the world was more equitable. I mean, he's the word equitable, but I don't use that word. And he's like, I had an assistant who knew how to write a brief, like, to a judge. Like, in a way, like, she was completely and totally capable of doing that. Like, and so as an assistant, he could kind of say, oh, you know, can you help? Like, we got to get this thing done. And she'd be able to, like, nail it. And then when I watched Mad Men, he's like, but now it's people who wouldn't have worked in the office before. Like, in a way, those people now have gone off to do these other things. And now I am kind of dealing with people who probably wouldn't have been working in an office, like, 20 years ago. So in Mad Men, this happens very directly. So Peggy is smart and could be anything, and she ends up doing that. Like, she ends up doing what she wanted to do, and we watch her struggle against shit and get that. Same thing with Joan. Like, absolutely, she started as an assistant. And she was, like, the queen of assistants, the king, or queen's a funny word. But the leader, like, she'd risen. She was a go-getter. I remember the first episode when Peggy first starts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's kind of a... And it's very sexist to say the word a bitch to her, because I think that's intoning a powerful female. But I think in the way the show was set up for the period, that was what the setup was, kind of. It was an aggressive woman was a bitch. Like, like this brilliant woman who was running the whole office, in a way.
Right.
And then later ends up getting very smart and is able to leverage that in a partnership. So I don't... Sorry, and then we know Don's last secretary is kind of not smart. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
but then, sorry, I thought that was a little...
It's interesting to me that it mirrored directly that one of his assistants was his wife, who's smart and talented. I mean, never...
Well, she was good at advertising. Like, Megan. She owned that.
Right, and sorry, she's never shown as incompetent in anything doing.
No.
Like, no, and then it's funny that, like, as more women moved into leadership roles, they shifted that. I know this is a very complicated thing to discuss, like, and it's not something we discuss a lot, but, like, you know. But I feel like it's an unsung hero that a lot of women who worked in offices in the 50s were... not just a critical part, not the girls in the pool.
Right.
Like, they actually had very much more value to give to the company. Like, they were... That's what it done with my dad. My dad used to do dictation, right? Like, I think he still does. When I was a kid, we'd get in the car. There's a little... I guess a lot of people don't even know. I mean, I guess... It's so funny that, for me, even describing this is so obvious, and maybe people...
Wait, think it is. Fine?
Yeah, I don't...
Yeah,
but
I have one. I don't know. I think my dad maybe had one, or my mom. Like, so it was in our house.
Yeah, it's like 4 inches by 2 inches, kind of square thing with little tapes
in it. It's like a Walkman, but with a bit on the... I mean, sorry, mine was like a Walkman, but with a thing on the end.
That have a full cassette tape?
Yeah.
No, so these are smaller. They had micro cassettes.
Oh, okay.
And like, this is what lawyers, at least in the US, would use. It's this like little... device, and I remember I would driving the car with my dad, and he'd be driving along, and we'd be sitting there and talking, and he's like, one second, he's like, Ginny, and then he'd stop it, so it was really weird, he'd hit record and stop, so it's the sound effects, Can you please send a letter to John indicating that on the 4th of July that we should have a meeting about...
Why would he stop?
Well, he was getting his thoughts. Like, you're able to... As he has like, one hand on the wheel.
I feel like I'm so privileged that I can say, oh, I'll write an email. And, like, I can think about it all the time and I don't...
I almost said, Jenny sent an email. But he'd be like... That the case of Johnson verse,
like, it would be like super just, weird. Why don't you just gather your thoughts before you even start?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, no, and then he'd also, so people he used to dictate would go like, and please send that period. So he would say the
punctuation. I want to do that so bad.
So my mom has a story that one time they were in a fight. When Davis and I were kids, my dad, when he would get flustered when they were first married, would say punctuation.
Oh, no! Yeah. No! Yeah. That's terrible. Yeah.
He'd be like, Julie, I'm very upset! Exclamation point.
Oh, no!
Yes. Yes, that's he did. So he would. Weird. Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Period. Comma. And it's funny that in my adult life, this is like weirdly in my head, but being able to listen to this.
But you're so bad at punctuation. Like, that makes me wonder if he was...
What happened?
I don't know.
Michael.
I don't know. It was terrible.
It's a New Yorker cartoon.
Anyway.
So it's a Mad Men New Yorker thing on the screen, and I was trying to figure out what it was.
Yeah,
so that was my dad. And his secretary would have earphones in, and she would just sit at a typewriter and just type everything. I cannot do that. Yeah, I think he still does it some. He has a digital one now. But he used to walk in and drop the cassettes on the thing, and she would grab them and then have her instructions for the day. Yeah. But then so much of what she did was even if my dad fucked something up, she'd fix it. Mm. Like, that was what the... She'd know how to lay out a... You know... Mm. A brief and like everything you need to do, and which who should be CC'd in, who should get a copy, like, and that's kind of stuff that when you hire, like, if he brought me in as his personal assistant, I'd be like, I don't know. You said mail the judge. I didn't know that it needed to be on a certain size sheet of paper and like all sorts of.
Sorry, it's funny. So obviously, CC and then email comes from carbon copy, where you would, you know, do like whatever the fuck you do with checks and like make a copy. I'm like, oh, I wonder where BCC, blind carbon copy, comes from. I'm like, at an office in the, say, 70s.
They had a blind person do it.
Right, exactly. No, would you make a copy and not tell anyone?
Yeah, so the idea is used to say...
I didn't know if blind carbon copy, BCC, was just like a email thing. Like,
no.
No, it actually happened. BCC, blind carbon copy.
You wouldn't write it, though, and that's the whole point, is like...
How do you know it existed, then?
So you say, like,
no, that was a
write a letter a to the...
That was
write a letter to the head of the department, and it'd be an angrily worded letter, and you'd say, CC the CEO.
Wait, so you write CC on these letters?
Yeah. So you're letting somebody know that you sent a copy of your letter. It was a very, I think, usually aggressive.
I was going to say, that's a move. Super passive aggressive move.
Yeah, you're like, look, I sent a copy of this letter to my lawyer, maybe. Also, CC, regulatory firm or something like that. And the idea of a blind carbon copy is that you're just saying, don't write on the original that you made a copy of it.
Interesting.
And we'll just go hand it to somebody and they won't know.
That's pretty cool. I'm going to
do that. You want to do that?
I want to do that more often. I do love it.
You want a mimeograph machine?
Yeah.
We can put it on the desk right here.
I heard yesterday about a typewriter that does cursive, which I'm pretty excited
That's
about.
Not a
thing. Apparently it's a thing. Apparently it's a thing.
So Michael's been learning cursive.
Oh, right.
To match with our Mad Men episode.
Exactly, actually. If you follow me on Instagram, which you should... I recently posted a sample of my cursive that I'm working on.
Wait, so
I
have this. How did you do it? Did your amazing husband?
My amazing husband, that is Hampton, my co-host.
Me.
Said something that I thought was funny, I cursived it. No, anyway, so cursive in the UK is not taught, for one. When I first started learning French, it was all the French people, French letter writers would write in cursive, and I learned it as French handwriting. And then when but I
that's
came here...
That's the British term for it. French writing, right?
I don't know, or just yours. Official term, but... and then... So I wanted to learn it when I got to the US because I did some kind of mix of printing or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, I have this second grade kind of cursive book where penguins teach me how to do letters. And it's pretty awesome.
I bought it for you on Amazon.
He did buy it for me.
Because he wanted to learn.
And I get stickers. And Michael's
an amazing... has amazing penmanship and enjoys drawing and writing.
But it
things.
Wasn't cursive.
Yeah, right. But I have no penmanship. So it's the one of the few times in our relationship, you're like, how do you do cursive? And I was like, is how you do an I. And you were like,
what?
How did you? You have a superpower.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I actually had some sort of skill for writing that.
You had a lot of skills.
Well, this is the only one that's writing.
One skill, and it's cursive.
Yeah.
No, but I'm about to overtake you.
I'm sure.
I'm super practicing my cursive. So, if anyone listening, the maybe tens of you, if you want anything written in cursive, I really want to practice.
We have lots of...
Hundreds.
Hundreds? We're at hundreds now.
Hundreds of listeners.
There's 100 people who literally have nothing better than to hang out with us.
If you follow me on Instagram and at me... can you at someone on Instagram? I think in a comment.
I'm trying to.
If you at me with like the secret code word, Arkham, then I
that's
will.
That's perfect.
That was a good one. That's anyway. I will write whatever you want. There you go. Do it.
Wait. You have to put a time frame. These episodes are up forever. Or just
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay. Up until 20th of May. 2016.
I think there's a better idea.
Okay. Up until that date, 20th of May, 2016, you can at Twitter me with Arkham and I'll write whatever the fuck. In cursive.
Maybe we should write we should make a Wham Show Instagram and you can share your
that'd be amazing.
Cursive.
Quotes from Wham Show.
Well, I'm about to post an Instagram photo of you right now.
In cursive? No.
It's
that
not.
That doesn't matter. Hampton's just discovered Instagram and he's abusing it. He doesn't use filters or anything.
I just use a filter.
It's pretty barbaric.
Look, I used a filter there.
It's a terrible photo. It's a terrible photo. Ay.
Well, write in whether or not you think it's a terrible.
It is a terrible photo.
Well, I know the one person who will always write in from the show.
Yes.
Hello, David Klein.
Hello. Anyway. I think that's about it.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. We're coming up to a while.
We nearly do an hour.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
It's 8 more minutes.
That's more than 8 more minutes. It's 33 minutes right now.
Oh, I was looking at megabytes. Apparently.
No.
Well,
I feel like if you're looking at megabytes, I think the test should be if you're looking at megabytes instead of minutes on the thing, it's probably time to end the show.
Well,
how's the scotch working out?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Then we can talk for 15 more minutes on Mad Men. It was good. I felt sad about
this. This is where we like to prove to our listeners that. Literally, the only qualification we have is that we have a microphone.
We have no consistency.
We plan so little. Yeah. And we're just like, so should we end this thing or not? I think we're going to end it. Because Michael killed it.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Everyone.
If you're on a morning commute.
And you're like, I got 10 more minutes. What am I going to do? Then go put on the Pixies.
No. It's the morning. Genius.
Oh, Perfume Genius. Absolutely.
That gets you psyched up.
Absolutely.
Yep. For the
it's
day.
Good.
Little... Or if you're on the way home from work, put on Hot Chip.
Ooh, that's a good one.
There you go.
Over and over.
There you go.
You should listen to
over
it.
Over and over is good.
Over and over.
It's good.
All right. Well, We're going to sign out here. Hopefully we'll do a show next week, but you never fucking know.
Right.
So if you want us to, keep guilting us.
Right.
If you don't care. Our
microphone may have been stolen again for any number of weeks.
Thank you, special thanks to Liam Neeson for
getting back.
Killing a lot of people to get this stupid microphone back.
I am thankful.
I am too.
Me too. Me three.
He's so good. Yeah. His special skills. I wish we could do an imitation of him. That would really
be
in the show, but I don't think I can. Yeah. It's not going to work.
It's too cliche.
Yeah, it's way too cliche. All right. Good night and fuck off.